Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 3rd Chapter, The Birth of Lord Krishna, Why then 18 has been written on the board? Oh, it changed it. Okay. Tattaha asya janma sthiti shangyaman bibho badanti anihad agunad avikriyat tvaishvare brahmani no viruddhate tad ashrayatad upacharyate gunai tattasya janma sthiti sanjaman vibho badanta nihad agunad abhikriyat tvaishvare brahmani nau viruddhate tad ashrayatad upacharyate gunai. Tattosya janma sthiti sanjaman vibho badanta nihad agunad avikriyat tvaishvare brahmani no viruddhate tad ashrayatad upacharyate gunai tattasya janma sthiti sanjaman vibho badanta nihad agunad avikriyat tvaishvare brahmani no viruddhate tadashrayatad upacharyate gunai. Tattasya janma sthiti sanjaman vibho badanta nihad agunad avikriyat tadishyare brahmani no viruddhate tadashrayatad upacharyate gunai. Tattasya janma sthiti sanjaman vibho ishare brahmani no viruddhate tadashrayatad upacharyate gunai. Tadasya janma vibhavanabhibho badanta nihad agunad vinakriya tadishvare brahmani no viruddhate tadashrayatad upajajate gunai. Mataji is? Takto Sujanmo Stiti Sanjaman Vibho Badanta Nihad Agunada Vikriya Taishare Brahmanino Viruddhate Tadashrayata Dupacharjate Gunai Tattaha. Are from your lordship. Asya, of the entire cosmic manifestation. Janma, the creation. Sthiti, maintenance. Sanyaman, and annihilation. Bibho, O my Lord. Badanti, the learned scholars conclude. Anihat, who are free from endeavor. Agunat, who are unaffected by the modes of material nature. Abhikriyat, who are unchanging in your spiritual situation. Twayi, in you. Ishvare, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmani, who are Param Brahman, the Supreme Brahman. Now, not. Viruddhate, there is a contradiction. Tat Ashrayatad, because of being controlled by you. Upacharajate, things are going on automatically. Gunai, by the operation of the material modes. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, learned Vedic scholars conclude that the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the entire cosmic manifestation are performed by you, who are free from endeavor, unaffected by the modes of material nature, and changeless in your spiritual situation. There are no contradiction in you, who are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Param Brahman. Because the three modes of material nature, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, are under your control, everything takes place automatically. Please repeat after me. O my Lord, learned Vedic scholars conclude that the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this entire cosmic manifestation are performed by you, who are free from endeavor, unaffected by the modes of material nature, and changeless in your spiritual situation. There are no contradiction in you, who are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahma, because the three modes of material nature, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas are under your control. Everything takes place automatically. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Vedas, Natasya Karjam Karanam Cha Vidyate Natasamaschabhadhikascha Drishyate Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shuyate Sabhaviki Jnana Balakriyacha. The Supreme Lord has nothing to do, and no one is found to be equal to or greater than Him. For everything is done naturally and systematically by his multifarious energies. From Shetashvatara Upanishad 6.8. Creation, maintenance and annihilation are all conducted personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mayadhakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. Yet ultimately, the Lord does not need to do anything, and therefore He is nirvikar, changeless. Because everything is done under His direction, He is called Shrishti Karta, the master of creation. Similarly, He is the master of annihilation. When a master sits in one place while his servants work in different duties, whatever the servants are doing is ultimately an activity of the master, although he is doing nothing. Natasya karja karanam cha vidyate. The Lord's potencies are so numerous that everything is nicely done. Therefore, He is naturally still and is not directly the doer of anything in this material world. Tattasya janma sthiti sanjaman vibho badanta nihad agunad abhikriyat taishare brahmani no viruddhate tadashrayattad upacharjate gunai. O my Lord, learned Vedic scholars conclude that the creation, maintenance and annihilation of the entire cosmic manifestation are performed by You, who are free from endeavor, unaffected by the modes of material nature, and changeless in Your spiritual situation. There are no contradictions in You, who are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman. Because the three modes of material nature, sattva, rajas and tamas, are under Your control, everything takes place automatically. So, Vasudev is offering prayers to Krishna right after he has appeared. I was about to say right after he took birth, but actually for Krishna there is no consideration of birth. Krishna is never born. Aja. Aja opi san abhayatma bhutanam isharopi san prakritiṃ śyām adhiṣṭhāya sambhavāmi ātma māyaya. In the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna told that He gave this knowledge to Vivashvan, the sun god, and sun god gave it to his son Manu. Manu gave it to his son Ikshaku, and in this way, this transcendental knowledge has been flowing. So Arjun questioned, Krishna, you were born just the other day. How can you say that You gave this knowledge to Vivashvan, who appeared millions of years ago? Mic is not working? Close to my mouth? Okay. So Krishna considered, Arjun was surprised, because Krishna is Arjun's cousin, and Arjun and Krishna are of the same age. Therefore, they are very close friends. They are cousins, close friends, and now all of a sudden his cousin is saying that he gave this knowledge. He spoke this, what he just told Arjun, to Vivashvan, the sun god, who appeared at the time of creation practically. So Arjun's natural consideration was that, how can I understand that You gave this knowledge to sun god, who appeared long, long time ago? Aparang bhavato janmo, parang janma vivashyatah. You are born just the other day. Aparang bhavato janma. But Padang Janma Vivashyata, Vivashyan appeared so many years ago. Kathametad Bijaniya Tamado Praktavaniti. How can I understand that you gave this knowledge to Vivashwan? Then Krishna's response was, Bohuni me byatitani janmani tavacharjuna. Arjun, many, many times both you and I have taken birth. But about them I know everything. Tani ahang beda sarvani. I know everything. But not tang betha parantapa. But you, Arjun, do not know anything. Do not remember anything about your previous birth. So that is how Krishna is establishing the difference between Arjun and himself. Difference between a living entity and he as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then right after that verse, right after that statement, Krishna is telling, Ajo Pisan Abhayatma. I am unborn, Aja. I never take birth. Bhutana Mishara Pisan. I am the controller of everything. But Prakritin Shamadhishthaya Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. Taking shelter or advantage of my internal potency, I manifest myself. That is how Krishna appears. For Krishna there is no consideration of taking birth. He is Aja, he is unborn. And not that every time Krishna comes he has to take birth, like us. We come here because of we get a body. If we didn't get the body, we couldn't have been here. But that's not the case with Krishna. Sometimes he takes birth, especially when he performs human-like activities. Then he takes birth. Like Lord Ramchandra, he took birth. Like Krishna Chandra, he took birth. But when he came as Nrisingadev, did he come through any father and mother taking birth? No. Just appeared from the pillar. As Varahadev appeared from the nostrils of Brahma. As Meena, as a fish, he appeared from nowhere. King Satyabrata. So this is how Krishna can come in whichever way he wants to. And he doesn't have any cause. He is not subjected to cause and effect. In the material nature, everything happens by the arrangement of cause and effect. But natasya karjam karanam cha vidyate. For him there is no consideration of cause and effect. He is rather sarva karana karanam, is the cause of all causes. Every effect has a cause, but Krishna doesn't have any cause. Krishna is the cause of all causes. And here he is glorified as it is due to your arrangement that everything is happening automatically, swabhaviki, automatically it's happening. But it's not that accidentally it is happening. There is a wonderful arrangement that everything is happening by some arrangement. What is that arrangement? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa. In this material nature, everything is happening by the arrangement of guna and karma. Krishna has made this arrangement. The material nature is endowed with three modes. Material nature is sagunan, with the modes. Prakrite kriyamanani. In the material nature, everything is happening by this arrangement of guna The Prakriti has the three modes, and the living entities are endowed with the ability to act. Living entities have the freedom to act the way they want. But then also, these actions are taking place in different modes, and accordingly it is generating different results. Not that same action is always generating the same result. It is happening according to how the actions have been performed or conducted in which mode. Urdhaṁ gacchanti sattastha. The actions that are performed in mode of goodness take us to the higher situation. Urdhaṁ takes us to higher situation, which gives us enjoyment. Madhye tishthanti rajasa. The mode of passion makes us remain in this plane, earth planet, or middle planetary system. And jaghanna guna vrittishtha adho gacchanti tamasa. And those who are acting in the mode of ignorance, they are plunged into the lower region. Mode of goodness takes us to the higher region, passion makes us stay in this platform, and we are plunged into lower region due to the influence of the mode of ignorance. So that is the arrangement that Krishna has set up. Autopilot. Krishna is not doing anything. He set everything in motion this way. Three guns, three modes of material nature, and we are endowed with the ability to act independently. In whichever way we want, we can act. That's freedom we have. But our actions are taking place in different modes. And accordingly, it's generating result. And that result is further putting us into a situation. Karma. Action, reaction. Action is leading to reaction. And how we function in different modes, an example has been given in this way. So someone is crossing the road and then a bicycle hits him. One person being hit starts to cry. Another person being hit in this way just gets up and starts to beat up the cyclist. And another person being hit in this way, he just gets up, brushes off the dust from his clothes, and tell, don't worry, it was my fault. I should have checked before, I should have seen before crossing the road. Same action, but generate having three kinds of reactions. The one who starts to cry, he is in the mode of ignorance. One who beat up the cyclist, he is in the mode of passion. And one who just accepted the situation, considering it to be his own fault, he is in the mode of goodness. And as a result of that, they'll get three different types of result, reactions. Mode of goodness will take him to a joyful situation, pleasing situation. Mode of passion will cause suffering. He beats up the cyclist. The cyclist also starts to beat him up. So that is the consequence of the mode of passion. In mode of passion, one wants to enjoy, but one ends up suffering. That is the law of material nature. The more one tries to enjoy, the more he is going to suffer. And one who is in ignorance, he is in illusion. He is bewildered. He doesn't know what to do, what not to do. He is kind of remains in a rather unconscious state. So that is Krishna's arrangement. And as Prabhupada pointed out here in the purport, that the master employs different people to work on his behalf. But he is sitting down, his employees are functioning, and he is getting the credit for the actions. Everyone considers that he is the doer. So similarly, Krishna has appointed his employees, the demigods. They are working on his behalf. It is seen as it's all been done by Krishna, although Krishna is uninvolved. The karmana daiva netrena jantar deho papattai. The living entities are acting karmana, and the demigods are giving them the reactions. They are watching. Daiva netrena, the divine eyes are watching. They are watching all that we are doing. They are watching. And also in that respect we can say that Krishna is also watching. Sitting in our hearts, Krishna is watching. He is the witness of all that we are doing. Whatever we are doing, Krishna is witnessing. But he doesn't do anything. As the super soul, he is the upadrashta, witness, and anumanta, he is sanctioning. But it has also been said that Krishna is not really watching our karmic reactions. He left it up to the demigods. Let them control. And the demigods, according to our actions, giving us the reactions. We are getting different births. We are getting different results of our actions. But Krishna, as the super soul in the heart, is waiting when we are going to turn our face towards him. That is why Krishna is going wherever we are going with us. He simply wants us to turn his face towards him. And the moment we do that, whenever we turn our face towards Krishna, that whenever we develop our love for Krishna, whenever we simply tell Krishna, Krishna, I love you, then immediately Krishna embraces us. Okay, come back to me. Just like a father, sometimes the father, the child wants to go and play in the field with his friends. The father says, okay, come. So the child coming to the field is completely lost with his friends in the games that he is playing. He completely forgot the father. Although the son has forgotten the father, but the father did not. He is sitting by the park on a bench, and just watching the son, what he is doing. And when the son becomes afraid, everyone is gone, it became dark, and he cries out to the father, Daddy, Daddy, where are you? Then the father comes and picks him up and says, come, let's go home. So in a way, that is how Krishna is situated in our heart as a super soul. He's just waiting for us to love him. He's simply waiting for us to surrender unto him. And that's the assurance that he gave. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma sucha. The game that you are playing, in that game, you are enjoying when you are acting rightly, and you are suffering when you are acting wrongly. And the right action is punya, and wrong action is pap. As a result of playing the game in a wrong way, we get the wrong result, pap, and we suffer because of that. So Krishna is just giving us the assurance here that don't worry, you just come back to me, just surrender unto me, then you'll become free from all your suffering condition caused by your sinful activities. Sarva papibhyo, all your sinful reactions. Because at that time, when you surrender unto me, then you will transcend that platform. You won't be in that playground anymore, where you are subjected to the rules of the game. You will become situated in another dimension altogether. You'll come back to me. And there, I will take care of you in all respect. Ma suchaha. Don't worry about it. So that is the assurance that Krishna is giving us time and time again. Why are you lost in this useless game, in this field of material nature? You want to enjoy, but there is no enjoyment there. It's only suffering. When the suffering is reduced to some extent, then you consider it to be happiness, and you are so endeavoring so much to be happy. But happiness is only the reduction of the suffering condition, or temporary cessation of the suffering condition. But when you come to me, then you'll be another dimension altogether, which is diametrically opposed to suffering. That region is the region of Anandam. This world is the world of suffering, and that world is the world of joy. There is no suffering in that world. It's full of joy. Just as when the sun comes up, there is no consideration of darkness. So if the darkness is considered to be a suffering condition, then Krishna consciousness is a situation where there is no room for suffering. Suffering condition is totally eradicated. So that is the information, that is the advice that Krishna is giving us time and time again. And Krishna's devotees are also conveying the same message to us. Just surrender. Just surrender unto Krishna and all your problems will be solved. Don't worry about it. And here in this particular verse it has been mentioned that how everything in this material nature is happening by Krishna's divine arrangement, and He comes to remind us how to get out of this miserable condition. No matter wherever we are, in whichever situation we are, we all are suffering. Being influenced by the illusory energy of the Lord, we think that if we can change our situation, we'll be enjoying. A poor man thinks, oh, a rich man is so happy. A rich man suffering from various physical conditions, he laments, I wish I could be healthy. And this is how in this material nature everyone is thinking that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Only he is not happy in the present situation, but he can become happy. I'm not happy today, but tomorrow I'll be happy. But happiness never comes. That tomorrow never comes. So this is the good fortune that we have received by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Very mercifully, Srila Prabhupada came and he reminded us about our actual situation and how to become free from that condition. Before coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada's teachings, we all were, I think we all were, considering that or endeavoring to become happy. And we thought that tomorrow we'll be happy, or day after tomorrow we'll be happy, and we are struggling so hard and facing so many difficulties. And today, at least we can say that we are situated in knowledge. It's all due to Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy. He came at the age of 70, undergoing so many difficulties, and came to a situation which was actually very, very dangerous situation. Not only he came at the age of 70, but he came as a penniless person. He didn't have any money, practically nothing in his pocket. That 40 rupees that he had no value in America, because Indian currency couldn't be transferred or exchanged into dollars. And even if he did, how much? $6. What is $6 in America? And not only that, he didn't know anybody. He wrote to somebody that I'm coming. But there was no chance of receiving any reply whether he was going to arrange for him to stay at his place or not. So when Prabhupada landed, he himself said he didn't know whether to turn to right or to left. Fortunately, this person, Gopal Agarwal, to whom Srila Prabhupada wrote, him he never met before. And that person just happened to be the son of one of his acquaintances from Mathura. And he sponsored his visa. That was the only person Prabhupada knew in America. And he wrote to him, I'm arriving. No prior arrangement, nothing. Fortunately, Gopal Agarwal arranged for some travel agency to receive Srila Prabhupada and put him in a bus, Greyhound bus, to bring him to Butler in Pennsylvania where he was living. Why did Srila Prabhupada take such a risk? In total uncertainty. He himself admitted that he didn't know whether he'll have anything to eat here. And we can also well imagine. Like those days in America, there was no vegetarian restaurant. The Indian restaurants were there, but they all were selling non-veg stuff. Not a single vegetarian restaurant. People didn't even know what vegetarianism actually meant in those days. Prabhupada didn't know whether he'll have anything to eat here. In such condition, Srila Prabhupada came. Why did he come? He came simply to create the good fortune for us. And today we can see what a good fortune he has created. He saved us. He literally saved us. Had he not have come, at least I do not know what would have happened to me. I don't know about others, but this way, at least I can contemplate on that, what would have happened if I didn't meet Srila Prabhupada. And he created the good fortune not only for this generation, generation after generations, they'll be deriving the benefit of Srila Prabhupada's arrangement. And we are seeing with the passing of time, more and more people are becoming Krishna conscious. Response in India those days was not at all there. In India, people were not interested in Krishna consciousness those days, or spiritual life. India those days was under the influence, West is the best. And everybody was imitating the West because they thought that that is the ultimate goal of life. But today in India, Krishna consciousness is booming. Russia, those days, no one could even imagine that Krishna consciousness could ever be established there. Prabhupada just went there for only 3 days. And today, Krishna consciousness is booming in Russia and the East European countries, which were behind the Iron Curtain before. Today is flourishing the most effective way. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to spread all over the world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted, and the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never go in vain. When He says something, it's bound to happen. And if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then literally in every town and village, Krishna consciousness movement is going to spread. So this is the good fortune that Srila Prabhupada created for this world. Just one man, just one devotee of Krishna, one pure devotee of Krishna, has created such good fortune for everyone all over the world. And he gave these informations in his books extensively. He presented them in his books in the most perfect way, in the most profound way. And these books are going to be there. We are going to go away someday, but the books are going to stay. And these books are going to spread Krishna consciousness most effectively over a period of time, for thousands of years to come. And that is how a wonderful revolution will take place in this world. Jasmin pratishloko janatagho viplava. Every single verse of these books of Srila Prabhupada, just one verse can create a revolution in this world. What to speak of volumes of books that are there, along with Bhakti Vedanta purport. Not only the shlokas of the scriptures, but the real powerful effect of these books are Prabhupada's purports, Bhakti Vedanta purport. And the world is now set on a right track. At least for 10,000 years, this world is going to see a golden age. And that has been created by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Does anybody have any question or comment? Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.